Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
Bears, 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 football, football, football.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
John Denny, the 40-year-old long snapper, will send it back on the right hash. Placement made. Kick is up. Jason Sanders' kick is good. Dolphins win it.
What was the biggest reason for the Bears' 31-28 overtime loss to the Dolphins?
Oh, there's a whole host of reasons. It probably comes down to being outcoached, and that's maybe unfair, but I felt the Bears were outcoached in the game. I felt that both Matt Nagy on offense and Vic Fangio on defense were outcoached, and it's difficult to pick which of those two would be the one most outcoached, but I'm going to go with Matt Nagy because I think he kind of lost his identity a little bit during the course of the game, and I thought the lack of aggression in big moments really cost the Bears.
Mully and Hall.
I think they're kind of kindred spirits in a sense.
Taking you to work every morning from 5 to 9.
Did Matt Nagy lose his nerve in that game?
You look at down the stretch, the last series in overtime, I'm not sure what they were afraid of. It almost spoke to being scared that your quarterback was going to turn the ball over because he had in the past, because he did in the end zone. I don't know what it was, but that last series was handled very safe. He definitely lost his nerve. I think at the end of regulation, it goes back that far because he could have called timeout, saved himself 20 seconds, and perhaps gotten the ball back with a minute to go and a chance to stage a drive that if you really believe in your quarterback, if you really believe in your offense, you're willing to take that kind of risk.
Mully and Hall.
It's a hell of a team.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. This segment of our show brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts, and we have a lot of people who want to check in, David.
Yeah, we do, because the honeymoon is over. Is that overstating it?
I think it might be overstating it.
Okay.
We're still on the honeymoon. We've just had our first argument.
Okay, that's a better way to put it. I think Matt Nagy, you still have a lot to like about what he offers and the way that, the Bears have started. 3-2 is not what you want it to be. You'd rather be 4-1. But yesterday was a disappointment because you built things up to, okay, we believe in this guy. Why do we believe in this guy? Well, he's transparent. He's authentic. He's aggressive. Why? He's aggressive, and he told us he was going to be aggressive. And he's got the play sheet that says, be you. And then he's somebody else. Then he's more reminiscent of John Fox and Lovie Smith, playing it safe in overtime.
Now we need to learn how to win.
And the Bears don't know how to win yet.
I would say, be aggressive, be aggressive.
Aggressive, aggressive, be aggressive. Ooh,
you know that's coming back. Thank you for picking it up. Todd's in Dwight.
Todd,
you're on with Mully and Haw.
Hey, good morning. A flashback to my eighth grade basketball days with that cheer, Mully.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah, maybe we'll all get together and do a pyramid later.
Hey, I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but here's the reality. And Owen yesterday, I think, said it best. We were all a little too quick to crown them. They got pantsed by Rodgers on one leg and a half with no receivers. They beat two last-place teams, and they gave up over 500 yards to a backup quarterback with a backup offensive line. They're clearly, boys, still the fourth-best team in the division with by far the fourth-best quarterback. And guess what? We have no first-round picks for 2 years, no cap space. But other than that, hey, it all looks good.
Todd, I think that's a little negative.
Todd, I'm surprised
you can't say the Lions are in better shape than the Bears after 5 games. Can you? I don't think so. Now, look, if you want to maintain faith in the Packers, go ahead. Not going to change your mind. The Vikings are clearly a better team in my book.
Didn't the Lions beat the Pats?
Yes.
So can we say it after next week if the Bears fall to 3-3?
Okay.
And the Lions win?
Talk to me next Monday.
All right. I'm wondering.
I'm not ready to say they're the worst team in the division
right
either. Now.
And I don't think Mitch is that bad. I just think that they had a setback on the road. Let me tell you something. And
let's just be totally honest about all this stuff.
Okay.
It's hard for a young team to win on the road. You know, normally when you start talking about team building, you win at home and then you try to go 500 on the road and you're going to have a really good year. Win at home, win at home, win at home. And that's what we're looking at now. We're looking at a team that has struggled more on the road. They've struggled on the road against stationary quarterbacks. We don't think of Aaron Rodgers that way, but certainly in that game he was. And they've lost aggression in both their losses later in the game. And that's a little bit disconcerting. But again, Matt Nagy is a first-time head coach. Let's not kick him and beat up on him. The growth of Mitchell Trubisky, also the growth of his coach, these are storylines to keep an eye on.
These are growing pains.
And we're just being a little harsh on them.
And the way we're reacting this morning is a product of the expectations. And the expectations were built up because the Bears were so good in the first four games.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it. Lou is on the road. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, Lou.
Hey, we don't need Cub references, man. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of Lovey. I'm seeing a lot of Rex Grossman. It's not Victory Monday. We lost.
Hey, okay? We're not losers, okay? We're winners all, no matter
what.
Who are
you calling a loser?
Every Monday is victory for me. I made it here, man. I got in.
Stop making Molly cry, Lou. Come on.
You guys are winners. I agree with that, but I'm just trumped out, man. I mean, my eyes see what they see, right? And when it's third and five,
right,
and you don't have enough confidence in your quarterback,
right,
to throw a pass, I mean, that's not, I mean, what is that? I don't know. I think this team is going to be good in the future, but this is 8-8, guys. This is 8-8.
This is what 8-8 looks like, maybe, Lou. Maybe you're right. That's a good call. If this Bears team is mediocre, if this Bears team is what you thought after they traded for Khalil Mack, improved to being a 500 team, 8-8, 9-7, that's what this looks like. There's going to be inconsistency along the way, and you certainly got it yesterday.
Just for background, the Victory Monday used to be for wins, and then we went through 4 years of the Bears season, and we just had to come to a point where we couldn't have our own identities tied into the Bears' results because they were so bad for so long.
Oh, you fragile little flower.
Now it's victory no matter what.
Built for Tough Bears Mondays, brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store, buyfordnow.com.
John is on the road. Hey, John.
Hey, John. Good morning, John.
Yes. There you go. I thought you'd fallen out of the car and left the door open, but okay, you're back. God bless
you.
Thank goodness. Yeah,
we have you.
Okay, I got to disagree with Molly.
Don't you dare!
Nothing for Adam Gase. Fangio had nothing for Adam Gase.
Yeah, they know each other. I got you. You think it was all on Fangio?
Yeah, definitely. And what did Leonard Floyd in 99 couldn't get off a block all day yesterday to save their life. In 39, he's got to go back to tackling school. That secondary can't tackle.
John, I'd agree with you. Eddie Jackson had a bad day tackling. And I think your points about Gase are well taken, because you know what they did that was intelligent? You knew you had a backup quarterback. You knew you had a guy who knew the offense, so you took advantage of that. Short passes, rhythm passes, you didn't ask him to hold on to the ball any longer than he needed to because he was a statue back there. Don't let the Bears pass rush dominate the game. You know how you do that? Get rid of the football.
Is this a blueprint for other teams playing against the Bears defense?
Look what Aaron Rodgers did in the second half. I know it was Aaron Rodgers, but you saw it then. And you saw it again yesterday.
Will you see it from Tom on Sunday?
You're definitely going to see it from Tom Brady. You most certainly. Tom Brady has made a career. He is a Hall of Fame quarterback, the best ever, because of what he does in the way of he doesn't overcomplicate the passing game.
Can't we just call him Tom? Do we have to call him Tom Brady? Because everyone knows who you're talking about. You could, if you want to. You could call him Tom Terrific.
Tom Terrific.
But okay. You're right. I mean, listen, Brady is
He's going to do exactly what Brock Osweiler did, except for he's going to have probably Josh Gordon to throw to.
Tommy.
He's going to have Gronk to throw to. If the Bears would have won yesterday, I'd have had a lot different feeling about this next game, perhaps.
Really? See, I think it's I think it's really a fun game to talk about. I know it's too early to start looking forward.
They scored 43 points last night.
You know what? They scored 43 points against an incredibly crap defense. Against the Kansas City defense that historically was the worst ever in the first five games of any season in the history of the NFL. Okay? That's what they did. So it's great that they beat up on a bad defense. They're stepping up in class, my friend.
Yeah.
Now, here, let's see if they can score 43 points against the Bears. I would expect the Bears at home to be a significantly better defense. I'm worried about Khalil Mack's ankle.
Yes.
I can understand why. But, you know, what happens at home is a lot of these guys that don't play as well on the road will play better at home. That is just a fact of life, that your support players won't be as good at home as they would be on the road. Also, it's not going to be 95 degrees on the field in your uniform back in Chicago. There should be a way of taking advantage of that. There's going to be a really loud crowd. There's not going to be half the crowd cheering for the away team. I'm telling you, the Bears are not in a terrible position. Here's the problem. The problem is, and I don't like this, that Bill Belichick just prepared a game plan for basically the same offense the Bears run. And you can say, well, you know what, that other offense scored a ton of points against them. And that's true. There will be some little hints there because, again, when you talk about Matt Nagy, this is a cut-and-paste offense. They'll take the best plays that worked against them, and they'll try to run them against them. But they're very similar offenses, the Bears and Kansas City.
Yeah, and you know what? As much as we can talk about scheme, and I think it's a fair point to make that Adam Gase got the best of Vic Fangio, I do look at the lack of execution yesterday as being as big a factor as anything. The Bears did not tackle like a team that had been playing as aggressively as they had defensively in the first four games. You know, Eddie Jackson did not have a good day. They didn't take good angles. The Dolphins made a living and did some damage with a lot yards after the catch. I don't know what the final total was, but, you know, Albert Wilson was unbelievable just in making people
ridiculous.
Miss and making big plays. Who saw that coming? Because that secondary had tackled better up to that point.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. The Patriots open as a 3-point favorite at the Bears on Sunday at noon. Is that an insult to what the Bears have achieved?
What have they achieved? They gave up 541 yards yesterday. They're 3-2.
Greatest defense since the 85 Bears. Where you been? I don't know what the hell you're looking at. You don't know what they've achieved?
I know what they've achieved.
Legendary status for their pass rusher, Khalil Mack. We're talking about a team that has gotten it done at home. Do they have a chance against the Patriots? Is that 3-point line laughable to you? Because the Bears are going to win.
I know what they've achieved. I also know they underachieved yesterday.
312-644-6767. We're going to get to all your phone calls next. Later in the hour, we're going to bring in Olin Kreutz, and we'll run some of this stuff by him. We'll find out what the former Bear legend himself has to say about the current legends and their little bit of difficulty, the bump in the road down in Miami. But next, your calls. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Tommy.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the Score. That is the voice of Mitchell Trubisky. He is the quarterback of the Bears, and that was him being interviewed by our guy, Mark Grody,
in the post-game
on WBBM, our sister station.
A couple things have emerged about the Bears offense that are a little surprising to me, and it's not really that related to Mitch Trubisky. I think yesterday his numbers were probably a little bit better, 22 of 31, 316, 122.5 passer rating. Had an uneven first half, had the interception in the end zone. Good numbers, but not overall something you feel great about. But here's the thing that I'm surprised about the offense. Number one, Tariq Cohen has become sort of the guy who becomes the barometer for this offense almost. If he has a big game, you feel like the Bears are going to score a lot of points and they have a good chance. I'm surprised that he's emerged that way. He played half the snaps yesterday. Jordan Howard split time. I think they maybe had a couple snaps difference between them. But Tariq Cohen's emergence, I guess the importance that what he means to the Bears offense surprises me a little bit. And the second thing is Taylor Gabriel has definitely, to me, looks like Mitch Trubisky's favorite receiver. Looked like the guy he feels most comfortable going to.
I'm curious. Last year, Dowell Logans, who we saw manning the sideline as the offensive coordinator for the Dolphins, last year he called Tariq Cohen their lone playmaker. He was the only playmaker that they had on offense.
Right.
And now you bring in a guy that coaches up playmakers, and I know you brought in a lot of other weapons, but Tariq Cohen would seemingly fit very well into the Kansas City style offense. Why are you surprised that he is?
I guess I'm surprised because you have a running back in Jordan Howard that you heard all offseason about how he wasn't a great fit. And you have his first two seasons in the NFL, which he's established himself as a top 10 running back in the league. Would you agree with that?
That isn't making a major statement, in my opinion.
Okay.
Because of the running games around the league.
All right, that's fair enough. But
I think the problem with Jordan Howard, you said it. The reason he's thought of is not fitting into the offense is because he is not a pass-receiving running back. And the best running backs in the league are these dual-threat guys that not only can run the ball but can also catch the ball and be a weapon in a passing
and
game.
Can run. And can run. Just flat out run. I mean, we saw the value of speed again. It goes without saying, but Tariq Hill last night against the Patriots, he's unstoppable when he can run like that. And that's the, you know, that's the secret of, I think, Tariq Cohen's success. This is a guy that you can't turn the ball over when he fumbled, but what a game he had. Peter King kind of summed it up in his Monday morning. I'm sorry, it's football morning.
Oh,
football
careful.
Morning in America. I'm ProFootballTalk.com. Tariq Cohen, the new Darren Sproles. And that comparison has been made before. But you're not surprised at how big of a role that he's played in this offense and on this team? Because, Mully, we both were a little bit taken aback at before the overtime. Who went out for the coin flip?
Yeah, that surprised me. That Tariq Cohen was the guy that was out there for the coin flip.
This guy's the leader of the offense.
That's fair enough. That is a fair enough comment in that light. I thought he would be a weapon they'd be able to use in this offense. I really did. What's interesting to me with the Jordan Howard thing is he's clearly not thrilled with the role that he's playing. He feels like he needs the ball more. He's trying not to bark about it. And he was very important to them when they in overtime and until he got gassed from the two big runs. But you can't fumble at the goal line.
No.
You cannot fumble at the goal line. And that goes for him, and that goes for for Drake in the other locker room.
Especially can't after you maybe make it known
that you need the ball and you're
unhappy.
Want the ball. Yes. And now he doesn't fumble very often, but that was rough. That was a rough one. So
Jordan Howard, according to Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic, played 36 out of the 70 snaps, and Tariq Cohen played 34 out of the 70.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good division of labor.
Yeah, there's no problem with that. And Howard had 14 carries for, 69 yards? That's 4.9 per carry. Tariq Cohen with 5 for 31, that's 6.2. Mitch with the 18-yard or 28-yard carry, I'm sorry.
Had a great read option that where he kept it, made a terrific run.
It's a pity he lost his balance. He was mad at himself.
He was going.
Oh, my God.
He was gone.
I mean, who knows? I mean, he was really – that was one heck of a run.
Underestimated Taylor Gabriel?
Yes.
Because I thought he was maybe coming in as a gadget guy,
you know,
kind of a slot guy. Look at him on the outside.
I thought there'd be more drops. Just talking to people, he wasn't a guy that was securing the ball.
That's why he was on his third team.
That's right. So it's a perfect fit for him with this group. 312-644-6767. Let's try KJ. KJ's on with Mullion Hall.
Hey, KJ.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Okay, like Red Fox used to say, are you crazy? The Bears are basically lose two games by a few points, and all these Bears, they're an 8-8 team. Are you crazy? They're going into the playoffs. That's all there is to it. And another thing, this thing, you know, we should have had a tie and ended it at a tie. I can't figure, as soon as the tie happened, I turned off the radio and I said, you know, I don't dig these Roger Goodell rules where this team's got to have a chance to score, this. Go back to the old rules. Go back to the freaking old rules instead of this stuff where this team has to score on the 25-yard line. No, we need to go back to the old rules. Get rid of Roger Goodell. That's all I have to say. What do you think?
Thanks, KJ.
I think they should go to the 3-on-3.
No, I actually like the overtime. I like the idea that you don't just give up a field goal and lose.
I like the college overtime. I have to say that.
I love the college overtime. Yeah,
I love that drama.
I
would be okay with the NFL trying that.
If what you're saying is you know, go back to the old rules, then the Bears lose in overtime.
No,
they lost the coin flip, and they would have gotten a field goal from the 2 yard line or whatever. They would never have touched the ball. They would never have seen the ball. I don't want to go back to the old rules.
No, I don't either. Let's step backward.
No, I agree. So that's crazy. Dell is in Gary. Hi, Dell.
Hey, Dell.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen. First-time caller, but I've been a listener since I moved back to the Chicagoland area, and I love your show.
Thank you, buddy.
Now, having said that, and I hate the Patriots, but Tom Slick is going to have a field day, because basically what you're saying is, with Mac, we are unstoppable. Without Mac, we're laughable.
Hmm.
Defense is a little extreme, but go ahead.
Finish your thought.
Our football team this year is defense led, and that defense is led by Khalil Mack. So you fix the Mac problem, you win.
I don't know if there's a Mac problem. I think there's a Mac injury.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah, I think but he's right. If you game plan up and stop, now here's the thing. We've seen him, Joe, have great success against double teams, against triple teams. He is a relentless pass rusher. He clearly was injured. He clearly, you know, he went into the tent. He had his ankle. He came back out. The ankle was taped. I don't know if he answered whether or not he had an X-ray or an MRI, whatever it was. But clearly there is an issue with his ankle, and that clearly was a part of the problem the Bears had on Sunday.
Yep, no question. I think you bring up a great point, because the Patriots put all that energy into that Chiefs game. That was big to them. There was a bit of a revenge factor too, one of the two only undefeated teams, all that. Usually you go away from those teams in the following week, but you're right. They just spent a week preparing for Nagy's offense.
Joe, we'll ask Olin about that, about the effect of that. Is that who gets advantage there when you see the number of yards and the number of points that were put up against the Bill Belichick defense? Do you say that, hey, the Bears can do this? Or do you say, oh, boy, this guy's just been preparing for one and now he gets two in a row. It's going to be easier for him. We'll ask that of Olin next. Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, we like to say. A morning with Olin. It is really like Christmas morning. And doesn't matter, win or lose, Olin, you are a delight. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Olin.
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
You know, we were still calling it Victory Monday because we're still winners. But that was a wasted opportunity, a missed chance, and certainly you come away from that game a little frustrated by the fact, and I didn't realize this until the game. How about this statistic? That Brock Osweiler, that guy, that statue, that loser, that guy has beaten the Bears now three times with three different teams. How is that possible? His first game ever starting for Denver, his first game ever starting for Houston, and now his first game ever starting for Miami. How can you lose to that guy?
Interesting beginning. You and Hall are winners, and Osweiler's a loser. So we'll go from there.
We're broke, and he's got more money than all right.
Listen, the frustrating thing is everything pointed to a Bears win, and you take a look at it, right? I mean, their starting left guard, their starting center is out. Their starting quarterback ends up out, and, you know, no one even knew until maybe an hour before the game that he was out. Cameron Wake is out. Wow. And then the guy replacing Cameron Wake gets a concussion during the game or some kind of injury, and he's out. What a lot of people don't know is that William Hayes, who was Cameron Wake's backup, got hurt in the beginning of the year. So you're looking now at the third or fourth string DN playing against the Bears. They're decimated. I think they benched their right cornerback after Gabriel beat him twice down the sideline. The Dolphins should not have won that game, and that's the most frustrating thing about that game down there. On the road is always hard when it's 101-degree heat index. It's always tough to play in Miami, but you just got to find a way to come away to win, and the Bears didn't. They found a way instead to lose. And really, if you take a look at it, there is nobody in Halas Hall this morning who's walking around with that attitude like, well, I mean, I kind of did my job, because nobody really did. It was a total team meltdown. Everybody had to take a turn to lose to that team in Miami, and that's what happened because there was no way they should have lost that game. All the advantages were in the Bears' favor, but you know, it's a young team, like you guys talked about earlier. They're still 3-2. They're still on top of the North until, you know, Green Bay plays tonight, and you know, they're still in pretty good position. But what a bad loss they took yesterday in Miami, and hopefully learn from it. Learn that you have to handle success. Learn that you have to stay ready during your bye week, no matter if the coach gives you a week off or not. You got to stay ready to play. Learn that no matter if everything looks like it's in your favor, when you go to play a team, you better play them like they're still at their best, and you better be ready to win the game and take it from them on their home field.
Olin, I bet you probably like the fact that Matt Nagy put his faith in the offensive line and the running game maybe late in overtime. You know, when you have a first down at the Dolphins 41, they ran three straight plays. And mm-hmm. I understand what maybe he was trying to do there, but even on third and four, you run Jordan Howard. It's like you were settling for the 50-plus yard field goal. And to me, that was just not who Matt Nagy always has been. That's not who Matt Nagy said he would mm-hmm. be.
Right.
How did you view that series and what happened there?
Well, you know, we were talking about in a post game last night, and I always want to stress how much planning actually goes into that last drive, right? Like that is not something they just said, okay, let's, they knew what yard line. They asked the kicker, they asked Coach Tabor, the special teams coach, what yard line do we have to get to? Where do we have to get to win this game? And they get to that yard line. Now, I don't know if they expected to rip off a 14-yard run, a 19-yard run. And it looked to me like when Jordan Howard came in, they gave him the same play over and over again, and the Dolphins could have stopped it. If you really think about it, guys, like I just mentioned, they're with their fourth DN on that side of the line, right? So they're decimated with injuries. It's not a bad play call. It becomes a bad play call because it doesn't work. And really, they get beat on the right side of their offensive line there, and they got the look they kind of wanted. I couldn't tell if it was a real zone read or Mitch Trubisky was just running that action because you guys saw in the game where Mitch ran for, I think it was 28 yards on that zone read. It could have been the same play. I couldn't really tell. But, you know, he might have been able to keep it there also on that play at the end of the half. But you're right. It was – I don't think it was three straight runs. I think it might have been five or six straight runs to get down.
It was three straight position. After the two by Jordan Howard put them
right.
in Dolphin
five
Field.
Five straight runs yeah. in overtime, right?
Right.
Five straight runs. Jordan Howard rips off, I think, a 19 and a 14-yard run behind Kyle and Bobby Massey, which is a good idea, right? If we go back to – who the Dolphins have on that side of the line. It looks to me like that side of the line was a little late on the snap count on that last play, and they get beat by number 50. I'm forgetting his name now, but he makes a play there, which he shouldn't. He shouldn't beat those guys on that side of the line. Those are two very good football players. So not a bad play call in my estimation, a bad execution. But you're right. Should they spread it out? Should they throw the ball there? The Dolphins' defense was really struggling when they got Gabriel 1-on-1 and Cohen 1-on-1 or Burton 1-on-1. It looked like the Dolphins had a hard time stopping that, and they were playing coverage most of the day and trying to keep Mitch in the pocket. But we go back to 3rd-and-2 in Green Bay, and they throw the ball, and what are we all screaming on the radio the next day, right? He should have just gave the ball to Howard right there because Howard ripped off a few long runs against Green Bay, too. I know it was a different yard line, and they were closer, but almost the same situation, right? And we're all on the radio in week one after that game saying, look, Jordan Howard just ripped off two or three big runs. Give him the ball there on 3rd-and-2, and he'll get you the first down. So they give him the ball on 3rd-and-5, and they get stuffed. And now we're saying you got to throw the ball. So we're all, you know, what he could have done, what he should have done, I'd like to see him spread it out because, look, it didn't work. And when things don't work and you're the head coach, you're wrong.
He is Olin Kreutz. On Sunday, you got Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, Dan Pompey in the pregame, and Hub and Olin and Big Cat, all at Aurelio's Pizza, 1212 South Michigan Avenue, 9 to 12 the pregame, and of course you get the postgame afterward with Big Cat and Olin, and it's brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Olin, as we watch what's going on with this team right now, we look at New England coming in. Okay, so now the Bears, you know, and I would have hoped that they could have been playing some more NFC North games because I really, that's where the season's going to be
won and lost, but here they are. They lost a game down in Miami. Now they come home, and we know what New England could do. We know how good the coach is and the quarterback and all the rest of it. Belichick has just been preparing for the Kansas City offense. Is it a benefit for him to now prepare for the Bears offense since there's so many elements that are the same? Or is it a benefit for Matt Nagy to go and look at what worked for Kansas City, and they put up some big points in that loss?
It's a good point. Both, right? Coach Nagy is going to get a chance to take a real good look at how he wants to attack New England and also what worked and what didn't work. And Coach Belichick has film on Coach Nagy. It's not exactly the same, obviously. The weapons aren't the same, but just the scheme and the game plan. But knowing Coach Belichick and those guys down there, they like to change things up so often that you never know with those guys. They may come in with a totally different look just to throw you off a little bit. But I guess the answer is both sides have a little bit of an advantage and in just seeing, okay, when I line up in this formation, this is how they're going to line up, and maybe this is where we want to attack that defense. But, it should be a fun game for the Bears. You know, hopefully it looked like they might have been after their bye week, and they hear that Tannehill is out. That, you know, and as crazy as this sounds, maybe the Bears team, they have to learn how to handle success, and they're looking, you know, looking past Miami to their big matchup with New England this week, and they get bit by that down in Miami.
This segment, Velden Kreutz, is brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buy Ford now. .com. Olin, I noticed the same thing you did at the end of the first half. It was subtle, but I thought significant. Benny Cunningham goes into the game to carry the ball. I thought that was maybe a statement to Jordan Howard. I don't know if it was or wasn't, but you look at the numbers and you look at the way they used Tariq Cohen. I have to ask, after five games, do you know who is the feature back on the Bears?
Well, I think what they're trying to say is that, you know, we're going to use the hot hand and whoever gives us the best chance to win, and it was hard to argue with that in Tampa Bay with how good Tariq looked. And Tariq Cohen does look very good. He is a really, really good football player, a matchup problem for most people in the NFL if they're going to match him on a safety, a linebacker, and even most cornerbacks. I mean, this kid runs good routes. He's fast. He's strong. But, you know, you would have to say Tariq is their featured back right now with what they're doing, because Jordan Howard, I got to go back and take a really good look at it, but I don't even know how many times he got the ball on first down yesterday. You kind of want to get that guy. You're going to feature him in your game plan. You want to get him wearing that defense out, kind of like the Dolphins did with Frank Gore against the Bears defense in that heat. You know, the first play of the game, Frank Gore puts his head down and runs through Eddie Goldman for 5 yards, and that's just kind of a statement to me when I'm watching the game. You know, you don't even expect the Dolphins to get a first down against that Bears defense, and they do on their first drive, and Gore gets 5 yards, and then they flip it out to the tight end for a first down. So, to me, when I was watching the game yesterday from that first drive, that's when I was worried already. I was worried when Trubisky, you know, missed two big shots in the opening drive in the first three plays. He had two big shots he could have took that could have maybe changed the trajectory of that game. But as far as your question goes, look, if after a big win, if you're going to pout, you better have a big game the next week. And I don't care who you are. Football is a team game. If you're running the team, you're going to be pissed at a guy like that. And I don't mind, we talked about it earlier on the Friday when I was on Friday on the radio, I don't mind if you pout as long as your preparation is the same, as long as you're talking to your teammates. I don't mind if you're pissed you didn't get the ball. I actually love guys who get pissed off they don't get the ball. I get mad if they're not starting. Those are the kind of guys you want around. You don't want guys around who are just happy to be on the bench or happy not to be in the game. But then what I'm looking for is that you're so mad that you've taken your preparation up a step, that you're practicing harder than everybody else, that you're trying to show the coach, like, look, I want to be on this damn field, and I'm going to do anything to get on this field. I may hate your guts for not playing me, but I am still preparing myself the best I can. I'm still getting ready for every game. So I don't know what Jordan Howard did in that building during the week, but it sure looked like people weren't happy with him, with him not getting the ball out in that first half, and then he fumbles it on the 1 yard line, which is a killer. You know, that fumble is a killer, especially for a guy. And I think he said it after the game. Credit to him. He said, "I cannot fumble the ball there." So right there, that tells me he's still all in with the team. He's just, you know, you fumble the ball and then to come back to Cunningham, Dave, like you said. And to me, right there, you put Howard right back on the field, especially if you're just going to run the ball and run the clock out. You put him back on the field and you give him the ball. But when they didn't, that was a very interesting move to me.
Thanks, Olin. Appreciate it.
Great stuff.
Appreciate it, guys.
That's Olin Kreutz. He is a legend, Bears legend, and it's interesting to hear him
he's pretty
break
good analyst.
That down. Yeah, yeah. I think we ought to talk about that a little bit, but we won't do it next because we're going to bring in Tom Thayer to the conversation. We'll run some of this stuff by Tom and find out what he thought, particularly of the play calling at the end of the game and where the Bears are at right now coming home. And
where he is with Jordan Howard.
Mully and Hall on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.